Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays here on WKLM, and today I am joined by our Congressman of the 12th Congressional District, Troy Balderson.
Thank you so much, Troy, for joining with me today and helping people to really understand what goes into being a congressman here in the United States.
Melissa, we're excited to be here with you, and it's always enjoyable to be on the show with you and the Share Christmas program that you were so helpful in getting us involved in. So it's always great to be with you. Thank you for having us.
And so you've been a congressman for a few terms now. How many is it three now?
It's three terms, so two-year terms. I came in a special election in 2018. And my first, that time frame, I was not actually representing Holmes County. I started representing Holmes County in 2020.
And so what made you decide to take the leap into being a congressman?
A lot of prayer. So, you know, I've always told myself to, when I started the political, you know, job and public service, I shouldn't call it political. When I started public service, coming from the small business background and an agricultural background, you know, I really had my own comfort zone, and I didn't step outside my comfort zone so much. When the opportunity came up to run for a state representative, I was approached to do it. It's a very unique story of how I came to do it. It took me about 6 months to convince myself to run for state representative. You open yourself up for a lot of, you know, there's both scrutiny for this position, and you become very public. Your life becomes very public. But I made the decision to step outside of my comfort zone, and I circled myself with people that love me and care about me, and that's who you want around. And I'll tell the kids that today when the FFA kids come in. I'll tell them that same story of what that is. And obviously, you know, those kids already do that because of their leadership skills that they have right now. But, you know, getting in the state legislature first was a great progress, and I really enjoyed that. I served a couple years with your legendary commissioner there, Mr. Dave Hall, for my first term in the state house. And then in 2011, I was appointed to the Ohio Senate and served there until 2018. The Congress position came up. Congressman Pat Tiberi's family was having his parents were having some health issues. He had triplets. They were very young. He had an older daughter, and he just felt it was time for him to go back home and you know, be part of the growing up years for them, and made that decision to retire. And he had approached me. I wasn't the only one he approached. There were several people that he reached out to and just said, you should think about this. And, you know, instinctively, I said no, just because that's what we do. And I was in a really good spot in the Ohio Senate. I was on the Finance Committee. I had the ability to represent the Appalachia region, you know, making sure that, you know, we were receiving some of the funds that Columbus, Cleveland, and Cincinnati were receiving and that we weren't left behind. I was chair of the Energy and Utilities Committee, which was a very prominent position at that time. The oil and gas industry was starting to take off in 2010. So being on the ground floor of that and, you know, guiding that process to make it very successful, not only in the Senate district, but across the state of Ohio. You know, you got to think really hard about the congressional thing. And again, it goes back to a lot of faith. You know, God has a path for all of us to take. And I firmly believe that. And, you know, this opportunity came up and, you know, he led me there. And again, I just went back to the basics. I got that same core group. We sat in one of my good friends' living room one Sunday night, and we all sat there and looked at it and said, why not? Let's do this, and let's make a difference. And we did it, and we won a very, very challenging and tough primary for a special election. There was a 10-way primary in 2018, and then we had four elections in 6 months. So it was grueling, to say the least, you know, not only on myself, but more importantly, my family and my friends and the supporters that were around me, but we were all in. We rolled our sleeves up. We all worked hard, and we made sure that we finished the task at hand, and that was to win a seat in Congress and represent the people of the 12th Congressional District.
Now, does the process to become a congressman, where you have to get signatures from the people in your district, is that all the same as with the local positions, or does that change when you get congressional wide?
No, Melissa, you do have to go out and get signatures to get on the ballot. It does have to be certified by the Board of Elections. So the county seat, the county that has the largest population that you represent is where you gather, is where you take those signatures and you gather them. Your goal is to gather them throughout the district, and we do that. But then we, you know, the board certifies them in the county, that the largest county we represent. That happens to be Licking County is where we file. That's the largest population county that we represent in the 12th congressional district.
And do you remember offhand how many signatures you usually have to get?
I think it's about 150.
Oh, okay. I figured it's not more.
It's not more. And again, I'm guessing here, and I know I should know that number, but I'm pretty sure it's 150 signatures. You get more so you can cover that basis, but 150 valid signatures is what you have to have.
And because you're in a party, you have to go through the primary and win that, and then you go on to November once you win the primary.
Correct. And the general, yes.
So that is quite a process, I'm sure, especially having 12 counties to go across at this point.
It is, but look, I mean, here, let's go back to the basics again. I've got a great staff. The staff knows the mission in our congressional office, both here in D.C. and at our district office in Pickerington, and that's to represent and serve the constituency of the people of the 12th congressional district. And, you know, having that small business background, I mean, it's customer service first. And, you know, look, we can't fix every problem or issue for our constituents when they do have a problem, but, you know, what they know that they're going to get from our office is everything that we have to make sure that we try to solve that problem or the issue that they're dealing with at that time. So, is it a lot? It is a lot. You represent over 750,000 people. That's a congressional district minimum, that population-wise. So, but again, back to basics. You surround yourself with people, and they're good people. Some have been doing that for quite some time. We kept a couple folks from former Congressman Pat Teaberry's staff, and we've also, you know, reloaded our own staff members also.
Well, this seems like a great time to take a pause, and we'll be back more with Congressman Troy Balderson for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. All right, we are back here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and I am with our Congressman Troy Balderson. And we learned about how you get to the position of being a congressperson. And so once you get elected and you win the general election, what happens next?
A lot of craziness. As far as just the learning curve is much different than the state legislature. You know, you have a bigger responsibility, obviously. You have a bigger staff. You come to D.C. You're in D.C. 3 weeks out of the month. One week out of the month, you are in the congressional district. And then we also have the availability. I know the media refers to it as August recess. That's the farthest thing from it. We're not on the monkey bars or the swing sets playing. That's our opportunity to be in the district. We are actually even working on scheduling August. We started 2 weeks ago, so we're getting that wrapped up and getting that filled. But I jumped ahead a little bit. You have to get the office set up. You have to get staff set up. So you hire those key people right at the very beginning, and their chief of staffs, and you have one here in D.C., and then you have one in the district. You work with those. You staff up your office, you know, making sure that you get qualified candidates. We try to get as many young people that are, you know, either from the congressional districts or from Ohio. That's not always the case, but our office is pretty good about it. I would say the bulk of our staff is from Ohio. A lot of the kids are graduates of The Ohio State University. We have a new staffer that just came in that graduated from Miami. We've had some staff from Denison. So it's just some of those colleges that are around. That's what we do to set them up. And then, again, we have a staff of 14. Most congressional offices have anywhere from 16 to 21. We are a little bit shorter staff-wise because we give our staff more responsibility, and we empower them to do the things that they need to do. I think it's a great learning process for our staff. They don't need to refer everything back to me. We do discuss those issues, you know, when there was a decision that maybe shouldn't have been made, but we learn from that and we move forward. When you come to D.C., I mean, they give you an orientation, Melissa, and to your listeners, it's kind of like going to your high school orientation. It's pretty lax, I would say. They show you where the rest. Yeah, there's the building. That's the Capitol. That's where you go to vote. Here's your voting card. You get an electronic voting card to do that, and then here's your office. We'll send someone up to, and you pick out your chairs and your couch, and we'll have something there directly. But in all seriousness, it's a lot to you know, learn your way. I mean, I'm going on 7 years here, and I'm still learning my way around this place. It's, you know, there's three office buildings for the congressional members of where their office is based out of. We are located in the Rayburn office building, and then 2 to 3 times a day, we go over to the Capitol, and that's where we take, that's where all the voting takes place. So, you know, we have different sessions of voting. We'll do a noon session, we'll do a 3, you know, midday session, and then we'll do a night session, just depending upon what the votes are and what we need to get done, you know, what bills we need to get passed and moved on to the Senate. Today, for instance, for example, we have one voting series scheduled at the moment that could change, but an afternoon session today. So you do that, you know, we have meetings. A typical day is, you know, we start about 7:30, 8 o'clock with meetings. I had my first coffee meeting this morning with a company that's relocating not only to the 12th Congressional District, but they'll be across the state of Ohio. And they were just giving us updates as to how that process was going. We will continue having those meetings. Meetings last anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes, and it's a rolling docket. So it's a continual flow when we do those meetings. And between those meetings or during those meetings, you know, we also have committee hearings. We serve on the largest jurisdictional committee in Congress. That's the Energy and Commerce Committee. Yes, those two words are what we govern or have jurisdiction over, make laws for, but it's bigger than that. So obviously energy is the big one, but in that portfolio, there's healthcare, there's broadband, there's commerce across the globe. It tackles many different things. We have oversight over the FDA, the EPA, the USDA. I mean, all the agencies that fall within that jurisdiction, we have oversight on those agencies. So if we're having today we're having a committee hearing, but also we're having a committee markup. So in between those, we'll have meetings. We'll have them meetings come down to the committee hearing room, so we can do those meetings there. I can step outside the committee hearing room in between votes, if there's votes. There's only 3 bills to mark up, for an example, today, so it should be pretty quick and easy. But that's the day, and then we'll go into the early hours of the evening. We got done last night at 9 o'clock, but, you know, on average, it's anywhere from 6 to 8 o'clock. So it's they're long days, but, you know, we try to get as much done and to see as many people that we can see. From the congressional district, we have a lot of they're called fly-ins. A lot of people come from the congressional district for those fly-ins and with the association that they may be part of. We have the FFA kids coming in. I said that earlier. They're coming in today. They'll be visiting the office. And you know, they'll be in here for 20, 30 minutes. They'll be in here a little bit longer than most just because it's several kids who'll be in here, and it's always good to hear their stories. And they're fascinating young adults, and we're excited about where they are, and the future for them is very bright. They're hard workers, and their leadership skills are just unbelievable. So that's a typical day. I think that's pretty detailed of what we do. When we go back to the districts, it's the same thing. We'll do roundtables through the district. We'll do tours. We'll meet with businesses. I said earlier, our district office is located in Pickerington, Ohio. And then, you know, we do the campaign stuff too. So, you know, 4th of July was a lot of parades and some veterans events. And it's nonstop what we do as a member of Congress. But look, I'm telling you that with a smile on my face. And I love what I do, and I'm blessed to be able to do it. And you make it fun. And you let people know that you're having fun, because when you're having fun, they're having fun. So, you know, when it needs to be serious, we're serious. But we also want people to know that we're doing the best job that we can do.
And what a lot of people may not realize is when you're an elected official, you are never technically off the clock. You get phone calls, emails, texts all the time. And if you got to do an overnight Congress session, you're doing an overnight Congress session.
That's correct. We've had an overnight. We've gone all night before. And there's one that you left out there, Melissa. We'll have the Walmart encounter. So, you know, if you're at the local Walmart and at the freezer section, or if I'm getting some wraps or my yogurt or something, you know, they're saying like, oh, hey, aren't you Troy Balderson? I said, oh, boy, yes, I am. And, you know, most of those encounters are very favorable. They're fun. And people are glad to see you out and about. And whether that's at Walmart, whether that's at Kroger, anywhere you go, people enjoy seeing you out and about. And, you know, I love my Walmart day. I love going to Walmart. I usually do it once a week. And you see just about everybody in Walmart.
Well, we're going to take this moment to take a little pause here. We'll learn more about what you're doing in Congress here as we continue on Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM with our Congressman Troy Balderson here on our Focus Fridays. We are stepping back in here with Congressman Troy Balderson on Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and we have really been learning a lot of information about what it's like to be a congressperson with Troy here. And in the last segment, you mentioned the committees, and that you are on energy and commerce and things like that. How did you get on the committees you're on? Are you chosen, or do you pick them? Do you draw out of a hat? How do they decide those?
It's a great question, Melissa. So there is a steering committee, which is members of Congress that are selected. You go before that committee. And look, it takes a lot of work. You find the committee that best suits the congressional district that you represent. Energy and commerce is by far the, again, as I said earlier, the largest jurisdiction committee in Congress. It is a big committee. It covers a lot of territory, as we said earlier. But you prepare yourself. So I started that process about a year out to get on that committee. And you sit down and you have meetings with not only industry leaders, but also with members of the committee that are already sitting on that committee. Show them your work ethic. You put together a package of why you feel like you should be, you know, placed on this committee. So we did that. So it's about a year out that you start working on that to get on the committee of your choosing. And then you go before the steering committee, and the steering committee is, as I said, peers of Congress. You're, you know, members of Congress that are selected, and they're divided up by regions through the country, and, you know, you convince and tell your story and say why you are best suited to represent the Energy and Commerce Committee out of the 12th Congressional District. And so we received that honor 4 years ago now. We were placed on the Energy and Commerce Committee. It's I love that committee. And then there's subcommittees that you serve on. So I serve on the Subcommittee of Energy. I serve on the Subcommittee of Health. And then I'm vice chairman of the Oversight Committee. I spoke a little bit about that earlier with the Oversight Committee. You know, that's when we have the head of agencies in HHS, CMS, which is the Health Human Services. We do the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration. We do the U.S. EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency. So all those agencies come before us. Yesterday we had a hearing with nuclear folks, we're on the panel. So we have FERC, which is the large agency. It's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I had to get my acronyms there correctly. So the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So those are the subcommittees that we serve on. And today, we mentioned that there is a markup today in the Health Subcommittee, and then we'll also have some hearing to bills.
And with your background in the energy from when you were a state representative and senator, it really made sense for you to try to get onto that committee and really be able to do things with that.
Yes, you know, that was our champion. That's what, you know, got us across that finish line, was the energy background of what we have. But also, you know, this district is very diverse, but a large portion of the industry is our natural resources, and it is our energy. And it's just not about natural gas and oil and gas. You know, we have a 1,000-job solar panel facility located in Licking County. So there's some renewable pieces in there also. from an energy standpoint, but yes.
And so in these committees, do you have, like, you have to meet so many times or what have you? And is this really where bills start?
That's exactly where the bills start. The bills are introduced. You get a bill together and you take it to the legislative staff. They'll draft the legislation. Then you get the bill and then you introduce the bill. And then the bill, there's a committee that decides where that bill goes to. The bills that we introduce all come to the Energy and Commerce Committee is where we do it. And then we'll have how it's supposed to be done, but how it's not been done for many, many years, but it was brought back. The Republicans took the majority 2 Congresses ago, and we brought back what we called regular order, which means that each bill has the minimum of 3 hearings. So that's a good way to do it. So you can have you can have an understanding of the piece of legislation that you're voting on, and you're well aware what it is. And that's important that we know what bills we're voting on, obviously.
Exactly, because sometimes they're really simple and sometimes they're 1,000 pages.
Yeah, they are. There's some big ones, but people would be surprised. Most of the legislation is less than 250 pages. And are there? Yes, there are bills that are over 1,000 pages, and we do that pretty sophisticated here. We break our legislation up to each. So all the staff in the DC office have a portfolio of what particular subject they cover. You know, there's one we call them legislative aides. Legislative, portfolios where they cover healthcare, taxes, and trade. So that person will take the piece of legislation that has that in it, will read that section of it. If there's a section on healthcare, the healthcare policy person will read that section. I guess I just combined those two together again. But anyways, everyone on the staff, and then each has a section that they read, they study, they're well aware of. We meet as a group together, and we discuss those bills before they come to the floor for vote. We actually start talking about them while they're still in committee.
And then it's the committees that decide if they go to the House or Senate floor.
No, it has to come out of the House. Every piece of legislation, if it starts in the House, goes on the House floor for a vote. Once the House passes it, then it goes to the Senate. Okay. And sometimes it can be the Senate back to the House. So there are different variations, but it comes out of committee. It's voted out of a full committee. So the full committee, Republican and Democrat, vote the bill out to the floor. And then the majority floor leader, which is Mr. Scalise, decides when that bill goes on the floor for a full floor vote, which is 435 members.
And so is there anything else when it comes to the committees that we didn't get to mention?
I don't think so. I think that was a pretty good coverage. I don't think we missed anything.
Let's go ahead and we'll take a quick break here, and we're going to learn more about what Congressman Balderson does in D.C. as we continue our Focus Friday. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM with our Congressman Troy Balderson on Focus Fridays. Jumping back in here with Congressman Troy Balderson, I'm Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays here on WKLM. We talked about committees and getting the bills through committee and to the House floor. So you've mentioned a couple times that you have votes and you need to go and vote. What is kind of the process when you're heading into the Capitol to vote on something?
So we know the schedule is usually a week ahead. So we know the bills that are coming up on the floor, and we know so that's important. And that's when, again, we sit down as a staff together and go over those bills. You know, we take into consideration, what correspondence we've had with constituency or associated groups. If it's the American Farm Bureau, where they sit on a piece of legislation. So that's how you know what's on the floor for the week. So you know a week ahead of time, most 99% of the time, what votes are up. And then the majority floor leader will designate what days those come up. From there, it's pretty easy. I mean, as I said earlier in our conversation, that, you know, we sometimes have two sessions of voting, sometimes we have three. Today we have one scheduled right now, so we'll see. There's some changes going on here today. It could change, but you go to the House floor, you sit there, and you can talk, but you have a voting card, it's an electronic voting card, you put it in this machine, and the green button's a yes, and the no button's a red, and then the yellow button, there's a yellow button there that's present, and present means that you're just there, but you can't decide which way to vote, so.
So what happens if, per se, like somebody puts a bill through and there's a tie, or it's something that needs to get passed and it just isn't passing? How does that process work?
So the process works, there's a whip team. The whip team, 99% of the time, you don't bring a bill to the floor until you know you have the votes. That's how the process works. You don't even bring, if you don't have the votes, you still have work to do convincing members, you know, that they, you know, why they need to support it or why they shouldn't support it. And every member of Congress has to say that they have to vote their district and they have to vote their conscience. But so you know what the votes are. If they're short a couple votes, you know, they may try to whip people or talk to people, you know, on the floor as it's happening. So we have sat on the floor with an open vote 6 hours, 7 hours sometimes. You know, the speaker, the leadership team will be working the floor. They'll be working with members to whatever direction they need them to go with.
Sometimes you see where the vote is at this, and then a couple more votes come this way. And so just share how that all works. It's people working real hard in the background is what it is.
People working very hard in the background. We are part of the whip team. So, you know, we have a certain amount of, we have members that we are the whip. Our grouping is anywhere from 6 to 8 members. And we report back to the whip team. The whip team meets when you fly in, usually on Monday or Tuesday, that evening, and that's when we discuss what's on the floor for the week. And, you know, we know who we're supposed to ask and know where they are, answer any questions that member may have. We also report back to the whip, who is Representative Tom Emmer out of Minnesota, and then we also report to Mr. Scalise, who I said was the majority floor leader, and give them an update of, you know, where members are that we have, that we are to whip. So there's a lot of going on behind it, you know, to make sure that bill gets passed on the floor. And then from there, majority of the time it heads to the Senate. Again, sometimes it comes from the Senate.
And so is there any other issues that could happen in there, or did we kind of cover all of our bases with voting in the Capitol?
You pretty much covered everything, Melissa. I mean, again, 99% of the time, when a bill goes to the floor, everyone knows, there's no surprises. There's not supposed to be, anyways. And you know, does it happen? It does happen. But the majority of the time, if everyone is doing their job and everyone is doing the work that they're supposed to do, there's no surprises. You go to the floor, you vote, you do the work, and you move on.
Well, that is a lot of learning information that it's nice to have cleared up, and we're going to take a little break here. We've got more time with our Congressman Troy Balderson. I'm Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are stepping back in here with Congressman Troy Balderson, who is in the 12th District. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we've talked about all the processes of the bills in your committees. So let's just do a quick little talk about what you're actually working on right now.
We're pretty focused on the energy segment of it. Melissa, we are doing some healthcare pieces, but let me go through some of the energy. We've passed two bills out of the full House floor. It's actually in, they're in the Senate. One's called the Grid Power Act. The other one's called the Reliable Power Act. And again, those passed with bipartisan support. They're in the Senate. We hope that we can get a Senate hearing on that. We've been working and communicating. The other big thing that we're working on that is a top priority is permitting reform. That is huge. We're actually, you know, doing some meetings on that today. But we do need to reevaluate how our permitting process is. I mean, we have projects that take anywhere from 10 to 15 years to get permitted before the project can start. And that's just not from an energy standpoint. That's roads and bridges and infrastructure. I mean, that's everything across the board from the permitting standpoint. So the Energy and Commerce Committee has a large jurisdiction on that. Natural Resources has another jurisdiction piece with that from that permitting standpoint. I think it's interesting, and I kind of did a little survey last week, and from our office, we passed the daylight savings time to stay at one time, you know, just stay at one time. That bill passed yesterday afternoon successfully, so we will stick with daylight savings time. So currently, our days will be sunshine longer. We'll see how that goes. It goes to the Senate next. There are some rumblings over in the Senate that it probably won't go any further. But, you know, from a district standpoint, we gauged what people wanted, and the majority, it was pretty close from that standpoint. But the majority of people wanted the one time, so the daylight savings time, not to go back and forth. So, again, and we'll see what happens with the Senate when that goes.
And is that all that you have currently on that is yours? Is there anything that's maybe somebody else's that you're kind of helping on or keeping an eye on as well that folks should know about?
The only other thing is from a healthcare standpoint, we're doing a lot with rural healthcare. We are working with the federally qualified health centers that are located in the 12th Congressional District, doing a lot of programs with them and making that outreach. We are also looking, as we expand the broadband coverage, which, you know, I may have some of your listeners disagree with me, but I think the broadband expansion has been successful here in the last couple of years, and more and more people are getting access to broadband, and I think that's very important. But we're doing a lot of digital health. We're making it easier. Telehealth was one of the positive things that came out of the COVID response is to have people, you know, predominantly the elderly, to stay home and communicate with their doctor. So, you know, there may be a transportation issue. There may be something that hinders them from getting to that doctor's office. So giving them the ability to communicate with their doctor via telehealth is something that's very important, and we're doing work with that. We're also doing some remote patient monitoring pieces and you know, allowing people to monitor their healthcare from home.
And so we are kind of coming down to one final thing where we'll discuss in our next segment, and that's how to reach you and where you're at and all those fun details. So we'll be back with that final segment with Congressman Troy Balderson for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. We are back one final time with Congressman Troy Balderson on Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and you've talked about how this is kind of a customer service job to you. So the big important question is, how can people reach out to you?
So our email via the website is balderson.house.gov. Again, that's Balderson, B-A-L-D-E-R-S-O-N, .house, H-O-U-S-E, .gov. You can also call our office at 614-523-2555. We are also on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And some of the things, for example, that we can help constituents with are passports, VA issues. I mean, that passports and VA issues and Social Security issues are probably our three big ones. You know, we can help with any IRS issues, but you know, it's pretty broad what we can do. But those are the three big ones: passports, VA issues, and Social Security issues that we do. Medicare does come into play with that also too, but our office is ready to help with any need that they may have. So it's better to ask if there's something we can do than not ask.
And your staff is always around whether you're in DC or not, so they'll be able to reach somebody to be able to talk to.
Absolutely. And we have, you know, obviously we have voicemail, but yes, we have, you know, our DC staff, and we have our Pickerington and district staff.
And like you mentioned also, you're always out and about in the community. And you said you like your Walmart time and, you know, speaking to people, out in public, you're not going to be one of those that runs away and shies.
No, don't. No reason to run. They'll find you some way, somehow. So you might as well deal with it. No, as I told you before we started, you know, I was up in Holmes County, and I love going to, I ride my motorcycle predominantly when I go to Holmes County, and stopped off at the Mexican restaurant and had a meeting there with a gentleman, and we had lunch. So love coming up there and going to Kime Lumber and going to Provia and all the small manufacturing facilities, all in brick. I mean, we do a lot of stuff up in Holmes County, and we're grateful that we get to represent Holmes County. We love it.
Well, we are, you know, enjoying having you as our congressman and coming on and talking with us here on the show. But unless you have some final comments, I think it's about time we wrap up our time here on Focus Fridays.
Melissa, I just want to thank you very much for the working relationship. You're great, and we always, you know, enjoy working with you, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
That was Congressman Troy Balderson of the 12th Congressional District. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Focus Fridays is each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour. And if you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, you can go to the website, WKLMFM.com, click on the Focus Fridays icon, and then choose from the episode that you missed from there. In our next episode of Focus Fridays, we focus in on Pomerine Hospital CEO Ann Gunther. It's here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.